All right, praise the Lord. It is so good to see everybody today. First of all, I just want to thank y'all for your flexibility here. You may have noticed we got some fans cooking and everything here. The enemy trying to do some stuff, but we're working it out. We're working it out, so we're thankful. Super excited that Boyce and I get to preach together today. We got some things we're doing here. We'll get to that here in a minute.
Doing something different.
We're doing something a little bit different.
Something different.
But it's good. We're starting a new sermon series today out of the book of 1 John, and excited that we get to jump into that. This whole series, which is titled All the Way, is really just looking at, what does it mean to be holy? Right? 1 John talks a lot about living holy. And even for you, like, I would be curious. I don't want you to answer me, by the way. Just think about it. What do you think about when you think about holiness?
Can't do it.
What's that?
I can't do it.
You can't do it, right?
I can't be holy.
Yeah. Or even sometimes we might even think of sort of a holier than thou, right? Like, only people who would say that they're holy are the people that we don't want to hang out with, right? You know, it's like holy people, like that's the spiritually elite, right? They're like the super saved, right? Like, you met those people that are a little oversaved, right? Like, they gotta be the holy ones or whatever, but I don't know if that's really me. Or sometimes even it's this idea that, well, if you would claim to be holy, then that must mean that you're just flat out a hypocrite, right? And so what we want to do is, with all those things that we might have in mind, we want to take these next few weeks to really look at, like, what does the Bible actually talk about? 1 John in particular, what does it actually say about living holy, and how can we understand that?
So holiness is attainable.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. We can get there.
Okay.
We can absolutely get there. Right. And we're going to talk about how we can get there
as a doable thing. Yeah.
Let me read for you out of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, because this is what's going to kind of set up this whole conversation, all right? And it's simply this. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And I just want to stop right there. So that you may not sin.
Amen.
Like, right there, like, some of us are checking out already, right? Like, Pastor, what are you even talking about? Like, I don't know who he's writing this to, but he didn't write that to me, and I don't even know what that's supposed to look like. How can we actually live in such a way that we do not sin, right? That's what we want to investigate, not only today, but over these next few weeks. And so as we get ready to jump into that, if you would, just pray with me. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence once again corporately. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to hear your voice and to be challenged by you. God, for Boyce and I, Lord, our prayer, the desire of our heart, God, is that you would speak through us, Father, that our words would be your words, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. God, help us all to hear your voice and to respond by faith to you, God, that you would be glorified in all that's done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So, we've seen the Old Testament many times. In the early part of the Old Testament, God often tells his people, I am holy, so therefore you be holy. Like, wait a minute, how can that happen? What is going on with that? But I want to go back to our scripture, read both verses. Again, New Revised Standard Version. Again, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Are you okay back here? Okay, all right. So, So then how did God's people deal with their sin? If they're holy people, but yet they are still sinful people, how did they deal with their sin in the Old Testament days? I have two words for you: sacrifice and atonement. As any Jewish person at that time, any Jewish person at that time could address their individual sin issue by coming to the tabernacle or later to the temple with an appropriate animal sacrifice to be a substitute for the guilty person's offense. This was done by the shedding of the innocent blood of the animal to provide temporary appeasement with a holy God. By this obedient behavior, the guilty was declared by the priest, cleansed by their sins, back in right relationship with God. Unfortunately, every Jew, though he was a member of God's chosen people, continued to live in a lifestyle of sinfulness just over and over in that cycle that not only affected them personally, but also additionally had a cumulative effect on the whole nation. Both intentional sin and even unintentional sin. So what is the, we see how the personal sin is dealt with in sacrifice by animals, but what happens to this bigger national sin that's built up all throughout the year? Here's the second word, atonement. Once a year they would come to what was called the Day of Atonement. Now, atonement's a big theological word. I'm going to see if I can break it down for you. Let's first talk about the simple definition. The meaning of the word is simply, I love this, at-one-ment. Atonement, at-one-ment. You have been reconciled back with the Father when you have been atoned. That state of being reconciled. A synonym of atonement might mean cover or covering. Reconcile or reconciliation, purge, put off, pardon, ransom, wiped out. Hey, my sins have cleansed, they've been wiped out on the Day of Atonement. Here's the explanation of the atonement. The satisfaction of God's anger by venting it out on a substitute instead of on me, the guilty person who has sinned. My sin has been ransomed and wiped out. The concept especially derives from Old Testament sacrifices in which the death of a sacrificial animal appeases God's anger so the sinner can be forgiven. To atone is to bring together a mutual agreement with the added idea of reconciliation through the vicarious or substitute suffering of one on our own behalf of one another. Now, so you don't know that I'm just making all this up. Let's go to Leviticus 16:29-20. Again, they talk about the Day of Atonement. It says, this shall be a statute for you forever. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall deny yourselves and shall do no work. Neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you. For on this Day of Atonement shall be made to you to cleanse you from all your sins. You shall be clean before the Lord. So let me kind of go through the steps. And this is a messy, messy, gory.
Yes, it is.
No wonder they only did it once a year. I mean this was messy stuff. So this is one of the three required festivals that they would come to each year. It took place probably in autumn, as early as August, in the seventh month. It was a specific day that was set aside for public fasting and humiliation, really self-introspection. What have I done this past year that might take me out of relationship with the Lord? On this day, the whole nation of Israel brought atonement for its sins, even unintentional sins. The Day of Atonement was a recognition of man's inability to make any atonement for his sins as part as his national cumulative effort. But it was a solemn holy day accompanied by elaborate ritual at the tabernacle or later at the temple. So this is what would happen. The high priest would come into the temple courtyard or the tabernacle courtyard. He would first sanctify himself by taking off a ceremonial bath and putting on white garments. You take off the priest's garments, just put on a simple white garment. He would then make atonement for himself and the other priest by sacrificing a bull. After sacrificing the bull, the high priest would choose from one of two presented goats, one goat for a sin offering sacrifice. And the priest now takes the sacrificed blood of the bull and the goat. He would go inside the tabernacle. The priest would then additionally purify the tabernacle or the temple anew from the polluting, contaminating sin that accumulated all year long. Now, as the priest makes his way through the holy place, he now enters where God dwells, in the Holy of Holies. Now, on the mercy seat, we see a photo here of the mercy seat. We have the covering top of the Ark of the Covenant. That is what's called the mercy seat. Only once a year could anyone come into the Holy of Holies. The priest, high priest, would sprinkle the sacrificed blood on the mercy seat, offer up prayers, a petition, and ask for forgiveness of the sins of the nation. He would then come out of the tabernacle back to the courtyard where the other goat was. And as you may have often said, he would put his hands on that goat, the live goat. He would pray over the sins of the nation. A gentleman would then carry him out into the wilderness, let him go free in the wilderness. Thus, the scapegoat symbolizes the pardon of their sin bought through the blood of the sacrifices and the scapegoat. Now, this may all seem well and good. I mean, okay, I'm cleansed. My sins have been, but wait a minute. I'm starting over when I get back home. Yes. Though I was cleaned and reconciled, made right with God, my sin was atoned for and wiped out, but my sins were not forgiven.
That's it. Hallelujah. That's
my sins were not forgiven.
Yes.
Nor was any one of God's own chosen people redeemed. Everyone returned home to a lifestyle of continual sacrifices of innocent animals to be brought often to the priest for temporary pardon. The sin cycle continued year after year after year after year. They're doing this for a couple of thousand years. Now, fortunately, through all these times, we have prophets who are coming by and saying, there will be a better way. The Messiah is coming who's going to take care of this sin issue. That we can abolish this sacrificing of bulls and goats and lambs to take care of your sin. And we see that the better wrath, the better solution to satisfy God's wrath, we see it in the Phillips translation in Hebrews 9, verses 25 through 27. And the writer of Hebrews simply says, there is no intention that he, being Jesus, should offer himself regularly like the high priest entering the Holy Holies every year with blood of another creature. For that would mean that he would have to suffer death every time he entered heaven from the beginning of the world. No. In fact, that now, at this point in time, the end of this present age, he has appeared once and for all.
Amen.
To abolish sin.
Amen.
By the sacrifice of himself.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a wonderful
Jesus.
Promise.
Yes.
Jesus has become that promised Messiah.
Amen.
That all the prophets had talked about.
Amen.
He has come on the scene. He has offered himself as a pure Lamb of God on the cross. So in Jesus, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, we now have a permanent, all holy high priest interceding on our behalf as our own advocate,
yes, he is.
As the perfect, yes, he is, slain Lamb of God.
Amen.
Atoning and abolishing sin by shedding his pure blood as a substitutionary sacrifice for ourselves.
Amen.
That brings us all the way back to our original text that Pastor talked about. In John 1:2, it says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
And this is the part that we really need to hold on to here. See, all of this was just for Jewish people. They had the sacrifices for the consequences of their own personal sin. They had the high priest who took care of the sin of the nation, if you will. But now we see in 1 John chapter 2 here that when Jesus came, he did not come just to save the Jewish people, but rather he came again, and you got to work with me here. Like he came to pull back the curtain, if you will, right? He came to show that now, even though there's these Gentiles over here, see, none of this sacrifice had to do with Gentiles before. None of this had to do with any of us, really. It was all just them over there, right? But now Jesus comes on the scene. Y'all stay with me. It's all right. Lights flicker all the time. Y'all have never seen spiritual warfare before? So okay.
There you go.
It's all right. I just need you to hear this, right? I just need you to hear this. So when Jesus comes on the scene, what he's saying is, I'm not just a high priest for them. I'm the high priest for everybody.
Amen.
I'm doing it once and for all. I'm going to pull back that curtain of the Holy of Holies, and now everybody has access, right? And so that when he comes, he's not only taking care of the sins of the Jewish nation, but now he's got all these Gentile sins as well, and he's taking care of every single one of those as well.
Amen.
Right? He is that atoning sacrifice for the world. And it is that atonement, it is the sacrifice of Jesus, both for the Jewish nation and for the whole world, that it is our motivation not to sin anymore, right?
Like, amen.
Let me read this one more time. Actually, we don't even have the scripture anymore, do we? Okay. What kind of pastor doesn't even have his Bible up here with him? Give me just a second. Oh my goodness. And what's going to be great here is I'm going to pull this up, and there's going to be an ad, and I'm going to have to click out of that and everything too. This is stupid. 1 John chapter 2. Here we go. Hey, no ad. That's great. Thank you, Lord. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, because Jesus is our advocate, because he is righteous, because he is our atoning sacrifice, because he took our place, but because he did all of this, not only for the chosen, but for everybody, because he did all of that, we don't have to sin anymore. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Like, we are not only forgiven of our sin, but he actually makes it that we don't have to keep going back to that over and over again. See, many times, what we want to do is, we've got all these strings and everything, and many times we want to get all these strings together and everything. Like, oh, Lord, I want to follow you. So I'm going to cut this one string here, God. And then we hold on to the rest of our sin like we're somehow different. Like, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the faith step you took to cut off that one sin from your life. But you're still so easily entangled by all this other stuff here, right? Jesus didn't come just to set you free from a sin. He came to set you free from all of
Amen.
It, that
Praise
you wouldn't
Jesus.
Have to keep going back to it, but that you could be free. Many, now look, we have the freedom to live outside of sin. That doesn't mean you've never sinned in your life. It just means from this point forward, you don't have to sin anymore. Like the grace of Jesus Christ that forgave you is also available to keep you from going back to that wretched sin.
Yeah, once we have the Holy Spirit to help us, not only do we not have to go back to sin, but He gives us the desire not to want to go back
Amen.
To sin.
Amen.
The desires start to change. What, you know, I was born wanting, I got a selfish nature. I want to do things my way. But man, when I'm saved, when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of sanctification, He changes my mindset that my desire itself, it's like, okay, sin might be attractive, but no, I've got a greater purpose. I do not have to sin. I do not have to sin.
Yeah. So our heart is changed in such a way that it's not like, oh, man, I don't get to sin anymore. But rather it's like, oh, man, I don't have to keep sinning anymore. Praise
That's
the
right.
Lord. Like, how many times have you seen saved people that just look like they're in the worst mood ever because of all the things they're not allowed to do? Well, you know what? Like, last time I checked, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do some things that regular folk can't do, right? I want to praise God for the fact that when I surrender myself to Him and He forgives me and He gets me, I heard Tim Clark say it one time, that when Christ gets inside of you, you end up holified, right?
Holified.
then you are empowered to do some things that you can't do outside of God's Holy Spirit. We ought to be praising God for the fact that now we are made new, right? We are not just checking boxes and getting through life, but rather, as John 10:10 talks about, it says that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. You were not designed to just barely get by in life. Your purpose in life is not just to make it, right? Your purpose in life is not to just, well, I hope I can just get through. No, Jesus has died on the cross in order that you could live the abundant life, that you could have joy and peace and every fruit of God's Holy Spirit in your life.
Yeah, we're not born again just to survive. We're born again and sanctified to thrive.
Amen. Amen.
To thrive. Amen. To live that abundant life.
Amen. Holiness is not for the spiritually elite or the super Christian or anything like that. Holiness is not for those who know everything there is to know about the Bible. It is for those who would dare to take a step of faith and say, I surrender all.
Yes.
Right? For some of you folks that have been walking with the Lord for a little while, you might remember a strong song of the faith that just simply says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence I will daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy, entirely, fully thine. Let me feel your Holy Spirit, truly knowing that you are mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, right? Glory, glory to His name. I want you to know this morning, church, you can go all the way with Jesus. You can surrender your past to your advocate. You can surrender your worship to the atoning sacrifice for your sins. And you can go all the way in surrendering everything that you have over to Him. Not only the sins of your past, but even the desires of your heart. In the same way that we take a step of faith toward forgiveness and salvation, we can also take a step of faith toward holiness, so that you may not sin.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when you think about holiness, what is it that you think about? When you think about holiness, do you think about something that's doable? Do you think about something that applies to you? Do you think about freedom? Do you think about, oh, I have to give up so much? When you think about holiness, what is it that you think about?
Yes.
And what is it that you're ready to take a step of faith to walk into?
Amen.
Before we sit down here and everything, there's a few questions I just want to leave with you that I hope will challenge you to take some steps of faith toward Jesus even today. And the first question is just simply, where do you need Jesus to advocate for you? I mean, let's be honest. We recognize we all got stuff in our lives, and we need an advocate. A lot of us have that sin that has been wrapped up in our lives for a long term. Maybe it's not even a sin. Maybe it's just a wounding of your past that you need a Savior to advocate for you. You need to know that someone's in your corner. You need to know that someone can handle all your junk, right? Yes. And I just want you to know you have an advocate in Jesus. What is it that you need Jesus to advocate for in your life today? Amen. But then also, like, and this is a really important question for us to ponder, like, do you really want to live without sin? Like, I know what the Sunday school answer is, by the way. I mean, I could have wrote it in there. Like, I know the Sunday school answer is, well, yes, Pastor, of course I do. But then life happens, right? Yes. Stress happens, right? That person who gets on your last nerve happens, right? And then you gotta decide in that moment, right? Do I actually want to live without sin, right? And I'm telling you right now, it's a whole lot harder in that moment than it is in this moment. But we can prepare ourselves ahead of time to submit ourselves to Jesus, our advocate, so that he can make us ready when that time comes. The reality is that God's Holy Spirit is available to us, and when we submit ourselves to him, he can empower us to make right choices and to walk in obedience with him.
It's like Christ being our personal lawyer.
Yeah.
We have him on retainer.
Yeah.
We're not going to him every day. Oh, I mess up. I got to, you know, I need you as my advocate today. Oh, I mess up. Yes, tomorrow. I need you. No, he is an occasional visit.
Yeah.
Should be our mindset, should be our desire. Oh, Lord, yeah, you, Holy Spirit has convicted me about that. Maybe an attitude even.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever the Holy Spirit is shaping me to become more Christ-like. That's when I go to Christ, my advocate.
Yeah.
He's the guy I've got on retainer that can deal with my
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it should not be let's go into court again today, Father. Let's go in court. No.
Right.
It's a few and far between
yeah.
Yeah. interaction as Christ, yeah. my advocate.
And then if we do really want to live in such a way that every area of our life actually glorifies God and doesn't glorify sin, doesn't glorify walking away, turning our back to him, but actually is us turning our face to him. If we really do want that, then we really got to evaluate, like, what are the steps of faith that I need to take, or what is the one step that I need to take today, right? You may not take all the steps today, but maybe you could take one step, right? Like maybe the one step you need to take today is just simply to recognize that you have an advocate. And that God sent Jesus to this earth yes. to live a perfect life and die a perfect death and to be risen from the dead in order that we might be forgiven and made whole, that we might be saved and set free from our sin. Like, maybe the step of faith that you need to take today is just simply to say, God, I need a Savior, and I know Jesus is the guy. And I just, I'm putting my faith and my salvation in him. Maybe if you've been walking with the Lord for a little while, maybe you're one that has professed faith for a while, but has still been kind of holding on to some of what the world has to offer there, not really knowing, well, how can I really give him everything? It's a step of faith. Amen. In the same way that you have to take a step of faith, not knowing, in the same way you have to take a step of faith that God will forgive you when you ask it. We also have to take a step of faith believing that if you ask him to sanctify you and to make you holy and to help you to and empower you to live without sin, like that he can do it. Here's the deal. If when I ask this question, how will you take a step of faith toward forgiveness and holiness? If your answer is, well, I'm going to try harder, that's not a step of faith.
Right.
I just need you to see that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying that if you aren't doing those things, you shouldn't do those things. Like, do those things, yes, right? But I'm also not saying that if you just try harder, well, then you'll be able to do it. No, no, no. This is a step of faith. This is a step of surrender. You can't cut your own strings.
That's right.
Oh, I hope you hear that today.
Amen.
You can't cut your own strings. And you can't keep yourself from going back to them. What you can do is submit to a Savior who can empower you to stop going back to the sin again.
Yes, amen.
That's what he can. Are, is that the step of faith you need to take today? Is that the step of faith that you need to move forward in? Whatever it is that God is challenging you with, however it is that he's moving in your heart, however it is that he's encouraging you and challenging you to go all the way with him, I want you to do that. And even as we close out service here, I don't want you to leave here without getting what you need. We're going to have people up here after in just a minute that would love to pray with you and to encourage you and to let you know that you're not walking this by yourself. See, that's why church, that's why we don't come together just to worship. We come together to do life together.
Amen.
You don't have to walk this journey by yourself. You don't have to transition from one life to another by yourself. Like, we want to walk this journey with you.
Amen.
Right? So if you would, pray with me. God, we thank you so much that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us to be forgiven and set free. We thank you, God, that we don't have to keep going back to sin. We thank you, God, that we can be set free, God. We thank you, Lord, that our life really can be changed. We thank you, God, that we can be filled with hope and joy and peace. Lord God, we just thank you that you didn't stop with just forgiving us from one sin, but Lord, you went all the way in order that we might be set free from everything.
Amen.
Help us, Father, that we would submit to you and surrender to you in all that we have, and all that we do, because of all that you are, and because of all that you have done for us.
Praise your name.
For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.